Last fall, we looked at Jesus' statement in Matthew chapter 5 that we know as the Beatitudes. And we saw in the Beatitudes an outline of what the Christian life is intended to be like. And this provokes the question, so how can we live this life? And over the next number of weeks, we're going to look at the rest of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And we will see the practical outworking of a life that has been reconciled to God and brought back into relationship with Him. Today we are going to look at the key theme of Jesus' sermon because it permeates through everything we'll be dealing with in the coming weeks. So we're going to read from Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell the truth, you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. What Jesus is addressing here is the law of Moses deals with our external behavior, but it does not address the internal heart of human beings. Our outward performance is not the most crucial thing in life. Rather, our outward performance is to derive from something that is taking place deep within the recesses of our human soul. And Jesus' teaching is important to us today because there has probably never been as much confusion about what is right and what is wrong about things around us, about ethics and morality, as there is right now in our world today. The problem we face today is not so much one of immorality as it is of amorality. And what I mean by this is morality is a recognized code of behavior. Immorality is a violation of that recognized code of behavior. It is the deliberate breaking of the rules. Amorality is to not even know there is a code of behavior. Today, everything is determined by what I feel is best for me and what is right in my eyes. This has been a huge shift in our society over the past, 50 years or so. You know, there was a time in our Western world where there was a recognized morality that we could attribute to the Judeo-Christian teaching of the Old and the New Testaments, from the law of Moses and the teaching of Jesus. And during that time, immorality was a deliberate breaking and a disobedience to these laws. But now we live in a day of amorality. For many people today have absolutely no idea that what they're doing is wrong before God. We no longer talk about people doing things that are wrong, but rather we talk about people making poor choices. You know, by and large in our society today, we don't say people are wrong because we no longer have a standard against which to measure their behavior. So what Jesus teaches is very important, especially in a day when the beliefs that people once held are not held anymore as to how we should live and behave. Here in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Jesus goes beyond the externals of our behavior to the internals of what kind of person we are. And he penetrates right into the human heart. You know, we can divide the Sermon on the Mount into two parts. The first part is the shorter part. That's Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. That's where we have the Beatitudes. This is where Jesus is teaching about the character of a Christian, what we are intended to be. Then following that, right to the end of chapter 7, Jesus talks about the conduct of a Christian, what we are intended to do. And it is vital that we understand the relationship between these two things, because teaching on character, what we're intended to be, comes before teaching on conduct, what we're intended to do, for this reason. We do not go from right conduct to right character. By that, what I mean is, we don't become the right person by doing the right things. Rather, it's the reverse. We go from character to conduct. By becoming the right person, we then begin to do the right things. This is why Jesus is Savior before he is our teacher and Lord. He has to deal with what we are before dealing with what we do. There has to be inner transformation before there can be an outer change in our behavior. Jesus changes what we are, and then as a result of that, changes what we do. This is why you can't clean yourself up to become a Christian. You come just as you are. You don't clean yourself up by, you know, stopping smoking or stopping drinking and getting drunk or swearing or whatever else to become a Christian. You don't have to be living a good and perfect life to become a Christian. You become a Christian when you allow Jesus to come and live his life within you. And when you do, I will guarantee you this. Within a very short time, you will become very uncomfortable about doing many of the things that you've been doing in your life. Because what Jesus does, if you allow him into the innermost part of your being, is to begin to change what you are. Jesus creates in us what he said earlier in Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes. He develops within us a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. And your behavior, what you do, follows the transformation of what you are. Paul, in writing to the Philippians, he said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." When God works in us, he implants new desires, a new will, new direction, new everything according to his good purposes. And this is what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. In verse 20 of Matthew chapter 5 that we've read together, Jesus said, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." You know, when the people listening to Jesus heard him say that, I'm certain the hair on the back of their necks stood up on end. And why I say that is because the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and in many Bible versions they're called the scribes, were the teachers in righteousness. The name Pharisee means separatist, because they separated themselves from everything they considered to be defiling. They were the arch conservatives of their day. They were careful about the food they ate, about the company they kept, about the clothes they wore, making sure that it was all according to the interpretation of the Jewish laws. They tithed their money diligently, and they were renowned for their moral strictness. That is who the Pharisees were. The scribes, they were the teachers of the law. And it's reasonable to suppose if they were the teachers of the law, they would at least try to keep the law themselves. As Jesus said in verse 20, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus is introducing what I call the inside-outside dichotomy. This is where we see the righteousness of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law was an external behavior, rather than an internal transformation by the Spirit of God. And Jesus goes on to back this up in the rest of his sermon. He says, "You've heard it said, do not murder. But I tell you, anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. They've already murdered them just by their thoughts. The difference being, one is an action of murder, the other is the attitude that lies behind the action. One has to do with external things, the other has to do with internal heart issues. One has to do with what they did, the other has to do with who they are. One is about conduct, which is the righteousness of the scribe and the Pharisees. The other is about character. And Jesus is saying the issue is not whether you put a knife in someone's back or a bullet between their eyes. The real problem is your heart. Jesus is not amending the law of Moses. He's actually going deeper into the law of Moses, the cause behind the results. Then Jesus goes on to say the very same thing about adultery and divorce and making oaths. And it's all about one being external, and the other is what Jesus is getting at is the internal problem. Then when it comes to public acts of worship in chapter 6, Jesus talks about those who give publicly and pray publicly and fast publicly. The whole thing is about show and performance. And Jesus said they do it to be seen by men. But when you give and when you pray and when you fast, do it secretly, Jesus said, talking about the internal life as opposed to the external act. And in each case, one has to do with what they do and the other has to do with who they are. One is about conduct, the other is about character. And Jesus concludes his sermon with a story about two houses at the end of chapter 7. You know, the houses probably looked identical. They may have even been built according to the same set of plans. And everything was fine until one day the rains came down and the floods came up and the winds blew. And one house fell flat and the other house stayed standing. It was not the materials or the externals that was the problem, but it was the foundation upon which they were built. It was the unseen. It was what was underground, which was what was most important. The sand washed away and undermined the house built on the sand, and it fell where the house built on the rock withstood the storm. And the whole point again is the issue is not about the external surface stuff, but rather the condition of the person's inner heart. It's not about what you do that's important, it's about what you are that is important. It's not so much your actions as it is your attitude. It's not your conduct, it's your character. Jesus is going down beneath the law of Moses to address what the problem really is all about. Jesus, just as dealing with the externals, is the easiest trap in the world to fall into. You know, when you look at the groups of religious people in Jesus' day, and you make the parallels to our day, it's quite a sobering exercise. The Sadducees, they were the ones who did not believe in the supernatural. They did not believe in heaven. They did not believe in the authority of the scriptures. They were the liberals of their day, which would be equivalent to the spiritual liberals in our day. But when you ask, who are the equivalent of the Pharisees in our day today? That question becomes extremely uncomfortable. The Pharisees were those who had a high authority of the scriptures. They were biblically conservative. They knew right from wrong. They had concern for holiness. And I would venture to say that the features of the Pharisees are most prevalent in the Christian evangelical church today. In people like us, where we have a high regard for the scriptures. They're authoritative. We want to live by them. We want to know right from wrong, and we want to have a clear understanding that there are such things as right and wrong and absolutes. But you know, the great temptation can be that it becomes more about impressing others than about the expression of our heart. So, yes, we don't murder and we don't commit adultery, but we can become detached from our inner heart and be dishonest about what's happening within us. Jesus accused the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 5. He said, "Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and their tassels on their garments long." In other words, they have so detached themselves from the real issue, their life has become an outward facade. And it's the easiest thing for you and I to fall into as well. And the Sermon on the Mount can, well, it can make you uncomfortable. In the same way that visiting your doctor can make you uncomfortable. But it's for a very good reason. Because a good doctor will look beyond the external signs to deal with an internal problem. And Jesus goes beyond all the religious stuff and is going below all the things that we hold on to as important and is dealing with our inner heart issue. And it's this that we'll be looking at that will be our continuous challenge in the weeks to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, thank you that your Holy Spirit comes to indwell us as we trust in you. And Lord, we pray that our hearts will remain soft before you. That, Lord, our hearts will be open to being dealt with. Lord, that we won't be living our lives just with an outward facade and going through motions and looking good on the outside, but inside be a wreck. Lord, we pray that you'll just do your work within us. And as you are working in us, that your life would flow out of us to those around. Thank you, Lord, that you look beyond the outward and you drive to the problem, which is our heart, our inner being. And we thank you that you've come to change us from the inside out. We give these things to you and just pray for a working of your spirit in our lives now. In Jesus' name, amen.